Morning. You all right? How you doing? Hope that wasn't too much of a jump scare. It is just gone 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time on Thursday, the 8th of January in the year of our Lord 2026. I'm your host, Bo Dade, and you are the glorious few, the chosen band. It's Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show. Bo's Breakfast Club. You are the Breakfast Club, the Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. So welcome aboard. We'll get into it imminently. Just one tiny bit of housekeeping this morning. Yesterday, if you was watching yesterday, I was reading Super Chats all the way through and like loads of the hour was taken up with Super Chats. I actually really enjoyed that. That was fun for me. But we've decided, a couple of serious conversations were had yesterday. We decided can't do that again because it would just become a Q&A with Bo every morning. It would just become pay £1 to get Bo to read something out show. that's not what it's supposed to be. So half cynical, half pragmatic, the idea is if something comes through for like loads of money, I'll read that out, but otherwise I'll just read a few at the end and not necessarily all of them. If there's tons, 5 minutes at the end, try and read a bunch at the end. So that was what was decided. I'm joined by Harry, of course. Young Harry, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Still freezing outside, isn't it? All right, let's jump straight into it. Here we go. The top of the papers today are all talking about the raid on that tanker. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? The raid on the tanker. So they go with the overall sort of the amalgam of all the headlines are splash and grab. A reference to that raid on the tanker. Splash and grab. Shake and bake. And UK ready to seize more of Putin's ships. So basically the same story. This is the big thing in the news today. All right, so let's get into it. What it was. So first of all, the Metro, the absolute pits. The Metro. They actually have splash and grab as their top thing. So Trump seizes tankers in new show of force. We got Trump doing the... Is that how he does it? Is this the Trump dance? Someone's going to clip that, aren't they? So what it is, just to let you know, there's this tanker. It was called like the... It used to... Not that long ago, like in December last year, it was called something else. It was called like the Bella One or something. It changed its name to the Marinera. And it's a weird thing. When you look at the actual details, I've got my tea here, but I've also got water just for throat clearing purposes. This tanker, bit of a funny story. So... When you first read the news, the first sort of line or two it will say about it is that it's a Russian-flagged tanker. It's not really a Russian tanker when you look at it. I mean, so its history is that it went back in like summer last year. It was tethered up in Iranian waters. It's sort of essentially an Iranian ship, oil tanker. And then all last late summer and autumn, and into the winter, it sailed all the way around all the way around Arabia, up through the Suez Canal, through the Med, out into the Atlantic, towards Venezuela. And it got to Venezuela in, I think, December time, roughly. All these dates are rough. And at that point, already the US Navy is blockading the Venezuelan coast. So it's obviously meant to go to Venezuela. Okay, so the thing is that it's all about sort of... illegal oil. I say illegal as far as sort of the Western powers, as far as Europe and America are concerned, it's sort of illegit, illegal oil, because they've put sanctions on places like Iran and Russia and Venezuela, haven't they? So we don't want them trading oil with each other. You know, an Iranian ship going to Venezuela, getting Venezuelan oil and coming back and selling it to God knows who, the Chinese or whatever. Countries like America and Europe don't want that. They view that as illegal. So, okay, it's this essentially Iranian ship. It gets to the Venezuelan coast, realizes it's not going to, its mission to pick up Venezuelan oil is not going to happen. So it turns around. Apparently the United States tried to board it or at least monitored it at that point, but didn't board it. It turns around. And then it obviously realizes it's like in some deep S as far as America just seizing it or something, because America, the US has seized oil tankers before. This isn't the first time. nowhere near the first time, and it won't be the last, I imagine. It's the sort of thing they do. It's sort of bread and butter, in a way, for them. So it turns around, like it turns its responders off. It's like monitoring GPS, whatever. It turns all that off. Changes its name. Well, it's definitely dodgy behaviour. It's not a normal, completely legit ship. That's fair to say. Changes its name from the Bella One to like the Marinera, and then it, like, while still at sea, like I don't know the exact details about how all this really works, but it rechanged its like designation to be Russian at that point, i.e., not very long ago, just a few weeks ago. It's like we're Russian now. This is a Russian ship now. So that's why. In the news, you'll see like quite specific wording that it's a Russian flagged ship, not Russian built, not Russian owned, not really Russian like operated, but Russian flagged. Anyway, all right. So it's okay. It's a Russian ship, and it hasn't got any oil on board. It's not like full of like millions of tons of oil or thousands of tons of oil. It hasn't got oil on board. And then it starts running. It starts fleeing in the Atlantic. North and east, and and just yesterday, eventually, the United States and Britain caught up with it, caught it, and boarded it. So it was, when they got it, it was somewhere, it was like halfway between the top of Scotland and Iceland. It was like halfway between Iceland and Scotland when they finally got it, and not a million miles away from Greenland waters. And although it was the US that actually boarded it, apparently they were like Coast Guard chaps, I guess fairly specialist Coast Guard chaps, but it wasn't Delta Force, or, you know, it wasn't sort of crack special forces, as I understand. That was one thing I read anyway. I might be wrong. Correct me about that if more details come out today. Oh, lovely cup of tea. Nothing better than a cup of tea. I'm a tea drinker, not a coffee man. So, splash and grab. There we go. Apparently, UK assets were involved. There was at least one RAF aircraft involved, at least one Royal Navy support ship involved. Because it's sort of, not exactly in our waters, but it's certainly in our region, you know, just off of Scotland. And I mean, I say just off of Scotland. It's quite a long way from Scotland. Halfway between Scotland and Iceland is a massive stretch of water. But still, it's in our region, shall we say. There was, our defense secretary did a little statement to parliament saying everything we done was completely legit, you know, it's all legit, basically is what he's saying. Make of that what you will. Okay, so this is the big story today. This is the big one. All right, the iPaper says UK ready to see more of Putin's shadow ships as grey war grows. So that's what I've seen a lot of papers and news saying this morning. They're calling it a grey war. I've not really heard that expression much before. Often it's like people talk about a cold war or a hot war. A hot war obviously being actually bullets and missiles and things flying around, and a cold war being everything short of that. But they talk about a grey war. It does seem the case. I think it is the case, isn't it? That with all these sanctions and things flying around, The other countries that are being sanctioned by us, by the West, by Europe and the United States, they still carry on their business, just in a slightly more covert way. And so there's a war against that in various ways. There is loads and loads of basically illegal, again, as far as we're concerned, illegal shipping going all around the world all the time. Right, so just seems like Trump and Hegseth have decided that they're going to just be a bit more aggressive about it, a bit more. Like I say, this isn't unprecedented, the seizing of a tanker like this. Far from unprecedented. But today, for whatever reason, it's the way the news cycle goes, that it's sort of front and centre. You know, on some other days, I've definitely seen days when something very, very similar, if not identical to this, happens, and it's like barely registers in the news cycle. I've seen that a number of times. But today, for whatever reason, they decided, I suppose because it's near Greenland and because it's all part of the same news cycle thing of Trump being more aggressive, that it just makes sense from an editorial point of view to put this thing front and centre. Because it does seem quite sensationalist, doesn't it? If you don't necessarily realise that it's kind of common. Common's probably a bit of an exaggeration to call it common, but it's not like a crazy thing that Trump's suddenly doing something mad now. That's all I would say. Put it in some perspective. Nonetheless, I mean, Russia and Iran can't be happy about it, can they? Okay, the Financial Times, the FT, goes with US seizes tanker and aims to control Venezuelan crude sales indefinitely. Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? Trump's been pretty honest about that since. Not that excuses it, but at the very least, he's been completely honest about it from day one, literally day one, saying, yeah, we're going to take over their oil industry. I mean, we built it for them in the first place. That is also true, essentially. Not that that's fair. Me and Dan Tubb of Lotus Eaters fame did a cool, I think, a really interesting bit of content. I can't remember if it was an Epochs My History show or whether it was for Brokenomics, his show. I think it was a Brokenomics. We did a very interesting bit of content about a kind of famous, certainly very interesting book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Quite a famous book. And it's about a guy and his career was more in the 60s and 70s. And it was all about how America has built its empire, sort of dollar imperialism. Instead of going around the world and having wars and putting boots on the ground, like sort of Mongol style, British Empire style, instead you just do it through money. Because in the Korean War, if nothing else, certainly in Vietnam, America realised it's not a good idea. It's not an economical use of force and power and influence and leverage to just send in, cycle through 400,000 soldiers through a country for 10 years. And then at the end of it all, it doesn't really work anyway. So another way of doing it is you say to a country, a poor country that you want on your side, or a poorer country than you, which is nearly all the countries in the world, say something along the lines of, you want loads of infrastructure, don't you? You want loads of brand new motorways and airports and ports and power stations and bridges. You want all of that, don't you? We'll do that all for you. We'll pay for all of that for you. We'll do it all for you. And we'll basically lend you the money to do it. And you get a brilliant country out of it. And all we want in return is, there's the VIG. We want interest. We'll take interest. But also probably we'll want some sort of military base. And in the Cold War context, you'll be on our side, right? Something like that. And you know, sort of, if you don't take that carrot, the stick is that the CIA might murder your leader. And then if you still don't fall in line, maybe then we'll send in troops. The carrot and the stick. But, okay, so for Venezuela, it got to the point where no carrots were working. Right, they'd already done the carrot, building them their own oil industry, essentially. And then when Chavez just nationalises that, that's ours now. And of course, Maduro going further, if anything. Well, now Trump's done this. And, you know, Hegseth and Rubio and Trump are all saying, we run Venezuela now. Yeah, they're taking over the entire oil industry indefinitely. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. The FT says, Trump bets on reshaping oil markets. Yeah, it will reshape the oil market, won't it? I mean, of course. Authority of OPEC challenged? Yeah. So OPEC, the sort of the Middle Eastern oil producing countries. I mean, we're mainly talking about, you know, like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, like countries like that, where they've got had for a long time in a sense, to a limited degree. People can argue with me all about this one. People do argue about it. How powerful OPEC really is in terms of its ability to control the entire world's oil supplies and price. But if Trump gets his hands on, or has, isn't he? But when he gets his hands on a thriving Venezuelan oil pr- producing industry. Well, OPEC's power over the United States and the whole world's oil prices and things will be diminished, won't it? Personally, I think that's for a good thing. It is sort of out of the frying pan into the fire for everyone else, but do I really want, like, the House of Al Saud dominating oil? Not really, no. Is it any better that it's the United States are doing it, you know, from an Englishman's point of view, say? I mean, marginally, maybe. Well, there you go. What else have they got here? Octopus's flair for camouflage inspires synthetic skin that can disguise robots. Sounds terrifying. Doesn't it? That sounds terrifying. But okay. This is the future we're going into. The Times says, UK joins in pursuit of Putin's shadow fleet. Yeah, we were involved. Yeah. Starmer... So Queer finally got a call on the old blower from the Don. They finally had a phone call between each other. And apparently they discussed, as I understand it, and we don't get a great deal of information, we certainly don't get a transcript of what it is, but the number 10 does release a statement saying that we've definitely, the Prime Minister has definitely had a conversation with the President. And just two or three lines of saying, yes, we spoke. Yes, we spoke about Venezuela, Greenland, and this effectively joint military operation that's just taken place. And that's it. There are no details of what they actually said, which is fair enough, sort of. I mean, you know, the outside world, we, normal people, the chattering classes, would like to know exactly what was said, but they don't have to. So we just know that they did speak. And, yeah, we were definitely, the RAF and the... Royal Navy was certainly involved on some level with this. British spy planes and a Royal Navy support ship help US forces seize blockade-breaking oil tanker. There you go. I don't know why papers have to talk like that, in that sort of cadence, in that sort of, you know, newspaper tone. They don't have to do that, do they? But they do, don't they? Okay, The Guardian... The Guardian, what have they say today? US seizes a Russian-flagged tanker in high-stakes Atlantic operation. Yeah, high drama on the high seas. I don't think it was massively dramatic in the sense that, like, the tanker tried to put up any defence or anything. But still, I suppose any operation like this, you know, boarding a ship at sea is sort of quite exciting, isn't it? I think, you know, reasonably. But I don't think it was particularly high stakes. You know, if that tanker had, like, SAM missiles on it, or it had security forces that were firing at the incoming choppers, might have been a bit more high stakes. But there you go, okay. They've got to sell papers, haven't they? They've got to make it sort of eye-catching, make you want to read it. Reeves criticises Farage for benefit cap division. This is the story about the benefits cap in Britain. You know, whether you get welfare, various types of welfare, child support, if you've got loads of kids. So in the last government, the Tory government said, if you have more than two kids, you don't get welfare support for them. In other words, if you're really poor, if you're living basically in poverty or on the breadline, we don't encourage you to have six kids. That's reasonable, really. If you can't really afford to raise kids, if you're going to keep having kids and you can't afford to buy them shoes or put food on the table for them, probably not a great idea to keep having kids then. Well, the Labour government came in and said all of that is sort of inhuman, or in whatever way, it's like evil to do that. Like, you want kids to be in poverty. So, yeah, not really. And so, of course, Nigel Farage is sort of the more Tory thinking, you know, the more reasonable thinking way of looking at this, and Labour are of the more, let's have endless welfare, let's tax more for more welfare, because anything other than the redistribution of wealth from hardworking people to scroungers is, anything other than that is sort of wrong. There you go. That's classic. That's Labour for you. Socialists. Pinkos. What else have we got? Serial rapists kept Met jobs. Met police. London police. Serial rapists kept London police jobs after vetting failure. Brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, what can you say with stories like that? Just absurd. Living in a crazy, crazy... So there's a headline later on one of the websites we'll see. It was a black dude. Does that matter? I mean, one of the headlines we'll see, I think, hopefully, that it was... that their excuse is that it was for DEI, it was for diversity quotas, that they kept this black dude and failed to vet him that he was a serial rapist. I think even a... I can't remember, we'll have a look later, but I think it might have been child sex crime, even. I mean, what are we doing here, people? The Independent goes with Kremlin fury as UK helps US to seize Russian oil tanker. The Kremlin's furious. Well, it wasn't even their ship till like 2 weeks ago or three weeks ago or something. But still, again, you can, if you try and look at the world just from purely, say, Putin's point of view. I was trying to do this on the podcast yesterday. Try and look at the Greenland thing purely from like Hegseth's point of view or the US point of view. Things do look different, don't they, to like the rest of the world. If you look at this from purely, just for a moment, look at it purely from the Kremlin's point of view, it would be annoying and frustrating, wouldn't it? There's no two ways about that. It's like, this is something that was working in our interest, for our interests, and you've just nabbed it off the board. Yeah. Okay, The Independent says, aided by RAF, US captures sanction-busting ghost ship, quote, ghost ship. In seas north of Britain after a dramatic race with Putin's navy, a Starmer is urged to take on thieving Trump over Greenland. So they're mixing up all the stories, all the narratives here, really. Because this tanker hasn't really got anything to do with Greenland or the State Department's policy on Greenland. I mean, I suppose it has tangentially, or a bit, hasn't it? They overlap a bit, but here The Independent's just really... really merging all those stories. Okay, the Telegraph, the Torygraph, going with Badenoch blueprint to save our pubs. Kemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman who's the head of the Tory party. Wants to save our pubs now, apparently. Don't believe a word that woman says or does. I don't believe a word any of the Tories say or do. People like Suella Braverman or James Cleverly or Preeti Patel. None of them. Now, they had their shot. They had years and years to be in power and do stuff. And they screwed it all up and acted against our interests repeatedly. Kind of doomed us to a sectarian nightmare, demographically. But now they really care about our pubs, do they? Do they? Wasn't Kemi Badenoch not that long ago gloating in Parliament about how she got loads more foreign people to come in on, like, student visas and stuff? When she thought that was the politically advantageous thing for her and her career to do, to gloat about, to do that and gloat about it. But now it's all about there's too many immigrants and we must save our pubs and Englishness and Britishness is at the top of her priorities and all that stuff. Don't buy it. I don't buy it. I'd deport her. She's a Nigerian person. She's a cuckoo in the nest. She's a fifth columnist. What's she doing here? What's she even doing here? Let alone an MP. Let alone the leader of the opposition. Are you kidding me? What a perverse thing. What an absolutely disgusting and perverse thing. Okay. British forces helped Trump seize Russian oil tanker. Met police hired black child rapist to boost diversity credentials. Mad. Mad. If that reporting is right, if that is exactly what happened and went down. Mad. Mad. An embarrassment. To the whole country, not just the Met police. An embarrassment to us as a people. That we've allowed things to like that to happen, to be possible to happen. To boost diversity credentials, you'll hire a black child rapist. That's the headline. That's the headline, verbatim. Met police hired black child rapist to boost diversity credentials. Can you think of anything more sickening? Well, actually, there are lots more, but still. Okay. Daily Express. What are they go with? Don't run down clock on safe right to die law. Okay, yeah, this is about the piece of legislation going through Parliament about the right to die, to take your life early if you want to. We've talked about this on the podcast before. I've had it before. My position is, I'm not 100% against it, because there certainly are cases when someone is dying, definitely dying. They're just in palliative care. There's nothing that can be done for them. No drugs, no operations, nothing. It's simply a case of lying in a hospital bed with a morphine drip until you die. And that might take weeks, months. And even the drugs don't work anymore. The painkillers don't work much or properly anymore. And you want to die. I think someone like that should be allowed to die. Okay. Because some people say never, ever, ever. Only God, life is sacred, and only God should decide when you die. So I don't agree with that. I think some people should be allowed to die of their own, if they choose. Problem is, of course, obviously, isn't it? Is that it's a slippery slope. It will be immediately taken to, like, people that, you know, people that are just a bit depressed. The doctor says, we can make you die if you want to, and they're so depressed they go, yeah, go on then, and then it happens, and that's not right, that's not good, right? Doctors will be like, instead of trying to save your life, they'll just end your life. It could end up with all sorts of abuses to that, a bit like abortion. I'm one of those people who thinks in some extreme cases abortion should be okay, like for say a rape victim. Or if you know the child is sort of terribly, terribly, terribly ill or diseased, it's going to have a very, very short, painful life. Maybe in those circumstances, abortion is the best for everyone involved. So I'm not one of those people who's like, never, ever, ever an abortion, ever under any circumstances. But it is, like, for me, very, very rare. Okay, but then it's taken to extreme lengths, isn't it? Any woman that just doesn't want a baby for any reason, just abort it, all the way up to like 6, 7, 8 months, 9 months pregnant. That's obviously the worry, isn't it? That it just isn't sort of quite quickly, almost immediately, the idea of it, the concept of it is abused. So anyway, it's going through the House of the House of Commons has passed it, and it's gone through the House of Lords. And the House of Lords are sort of resisting it, and other people, mainly Labour members of Parliament of the House of Commons, are just sort of putting pressure on the Lords, saying that they'll do their own reputation significant harm if they don't pass this bill. Thing is, I think I said yesterday, was it, or the day before, that ultimately the House of Lords can't block legislation indefinitely anyway. So one way or another, the Commons are going to get what they want. So, there you go. The Express thinks that's front page news. The Daily Mail, they go with, you need to be on fat jabs for life. Oxford study shows patients coming off the drugs pile pounds back on within 2 years. Well, yeah, if you go back to eating loads of cakes and pies and drinking loads of beer or whatever, yeah, you'll pile the pounds back on, yeah. I've got very little sympathy for very fat people, morbidly obese people. Right, it is true, isn't it, that some people genuinely got like a thyroid problem or some sort of real physiological problem which makes them morbidly obese and makes them very, very fat. That's actually quite rare. Most fat people are just eating too much and doing no work, leading a sedentary life, choosing to lead a sedentary life and choosing to eat loads. So I've got very little sympathy for them, really. I mean, Yeah, if you have to take drugs, you won't stop eating loads of cake and pies. So I'll just take drugs to make sure I don't get really, really fat. Already, that's a bit weird to me, but it's not a good idea. It's not great, is it? And then when you stop taking those drugs, you get fat again. Yeah, yeah, probably, yeah. Why don't you change your lifestyle? Why don't you change your diet? Why don't you stop being such a pig? I think fat shaming should be a thing. Yeah, stop eating loads. It's pretty straightforward. Is that harsh? Am I being way, way, way ridiculously harsh? All right, let's see. The Sun. What's The Sun got going on? TV drama on Sun investigation. Look who's Hugh. So Martin Clute. Oh, okay. So The Sun thinks, this is front page news today, that there's going to be a TV drama all about Hugh Edwards, and Hugh Edwards is going to be played by Martin Clunes. There you go. Front page news. The Sun. Boom. If anyone who doesn't remember, there was a TV... Anyone who's British would know. Anyone who's not British probably wouldn't know. Just let everyone out there know that the like something like two-thirds of the audience here, something like that, are British. About a third is US. And then the next one, roughly, these are rough figures. And then like 5% or so, something like in that ballpark, are Australian. So, in fact, I've got to put Australian news. I haven't got it this morning, but going forward, I'll try and put like an Australian news channel thing on there because we have got a fair bunch of Aussies watching. Hugh Edwards was a BBC news presenter, a staple for years. He was like a household name, basically. Everyone would have known his face. He was a newsreader, really, really, one of the most famous newsreaders. Turns out he was a little bit of a wrong'un. I'll say a little bit. I mean, it wasn't like he was going around Epsteining people, but apparently he had on his phone or his laptop or something, like, really dodgy pictures. I think they were pedo pictures. He, like, shared them round or just accepted them. And oh, he took pictures of his own butt. Took pictures of his own butt and was sending them around. So, you know, dodgy as hell, like, pretty bad. And was convicted. Went to trial, fully convicted. All this is a matter of record. I can't be done for any sort of defamation or libel or anything. It's all a matter of record. And The Sun is taking credit for some of the investigation into all of that, sort of breaking the story and things. And now there's going to be a TV drama about it. Martin Clunes gets the lead role, and that is front page news, according to The Sun. Alrighty. The Mirror, even worse slop. I mean, that was kind of sloppy, wasn't it? That's slop adjacent. The Mirror, even more slop. They're going with, for some reason, they're really interested in that Little Mix singer and the really sad story of her children, of her disabled children. And they went with it earlier in the week, didn't they? I think on Monday even, they went with her story. And they're still going with it. The editor there, or the editorial team, whoever it is, have decided it's important. They say, as singer tells of checks that could have helped twins, we join calls for Jesse tests. Jesse tests now. Again, I'm not saying it's not unimportant, or I haven't got sympathy for her or other families that have suffered with the same thing. But is it the most important thing going on in the world? Because, you know, if you're the editor of a newspaper, an actual, you know, nationwide newspaper, you can choose anything in the world to report on, to put on your front page. And they choose this. I mean, it's just not that serious, is it? They're not being particularly serious. Talking about not being serious, the Daily Star, as Trump nabs oil ship. This guy saying, you can take our greens, but not our land. Apparently there's a place in Britain, or is it even in Scotland? It's in the UK, that's also called Greenland. Right? Okay, let's establish that. And that the people there were saying, Mr. Trump, hands off our land. I mean, It's the sludge at the bottom of the slop barrel, isn't it? I mean, so much so it's funny. It's sort of funny. I guess that, I mean, that is the point. Sort of not trying, not even trying to be serious. Right. Braveheart Scots tell golf nut Don to skedaddle. Yeah, all right then. All right, the star. All right, if you say so. All right, let's move on to just the websites. All right, so this is a story coming out of the US, which is all over even our news. US immigration agent fatally shoots woman in Minneapolis. So what it was, I did see a clip of it. Some ICE agents stopped a car. They were going to, I think they were going to detain the woman. So maybe she was, I don't know all the details yet, because it only just happened, basically. But maybe she was facing deportation or something. And she just drives away, just goes to drive away. And it's not like she was imminently going to drive straight through an ICE agent or a policeman, a sheriff, whatever it is. But they did have to sort of, I think, sort of jink out of the way. But as that happens, he fires a shot sort of through the windscreen, I believe, and it hit her and killed her. And the car crashes just a few yards up the road. So that happened. My feelings on that are, from just seeing the clip once, and, you know, if you rewatch it and in slow-mo and all sorts of things, you might come to a different decision. My opinion is this. That officer didn't really need to shoot. I don't think he was sort of in complete, like, if he didn't shoot, he still wouldn't have got run over. So there's that angle. The other angle is, don't evade arrest. Like, if the cops are arresting you, or trying to arrest you, or told you that you're under arrest now, don't resist it. Certainly don't run away. Certainly don't drive a vehicle towards them in any way, shape or form. And that goes even for in Britain, where most cops don't have guns. We do have armed response officers, of course, but the average beat cop in Britain doesn't even have a gun. If you're in America, where every single cop's got a gun, I think you've got to be mad. You must be absolutely mad to be resisting arrest, be fighting with them, to just drive away from them, to drive remotely towards them. Like, don't do that. It's crazy. That's crazy. Or, like, you know. And so the argument is going on straight away, isn't it? On one side is saying, well, this was just a police murder. The police just murdered this woman. And the other side of the argument is saying, well, she got herself killed, basically. If she hadn't have done what she just did, she'd still be alive. Well, watch the clip for yourself, I suppose. I mean, she did get herself killed. But that cop didn't have to shoot, right? He didn't have to. But then it would have been a car chase, wouldn't it? Then it would have, the cops were obliged to then chase her down. So, which could have been worse. She could have crashed into other people, hit pedestrians, God knows what. Other cops could have got injured or killed in that. So... Don't ever run from the cops. And if you're in America, or if you're in any country where all the cops are armed, really don't run from the cops. It's almost certainly not going to end well for you. That's my feeling about that. There you go. What else have we got? Storm Goretti, that's in the UK, set to hit UK with heavy snowfall and strong winds. Yeah, they were saying yesterday that it was meant to hit yesterday. And now they're saying it's going to hit today. So, okay, there's that. Andrew, that's Prince Andrew, or ex-Prince Andrew. He's now just Andrew Mountbatten, isn't he? Or Andrew Windsor. He's not Prince Andrew. He's just Andrew. Andrew was paid millions for mansion by oligarch with funds from firm linked to bribery scheme. Andrew can't catch a break, can he? Not that I care. I've always hated Andrew, even before, I say hate. Hate's a bit strong. I've always disliked Andrew, even before everyone knew about all of his Epstein connections and all that sort of thing. Andrew and Fergie, his wife, Sarah Ferguson, were always sort of annoying and obnoxious and arrogant and all those sorts of things. So to see his sort of disastrous fall from grace and sort of endless scandal and things, yeah, sort of funny. He's truly disgraced for all time. I mean, he will go down in history as a disgrace, right? There's no way back for him in any real way, is there? Okay, what else have we got? People who come off slimming jabs regain weight 4 times faster than dieters. I mean, Sean, it depends what your diet is, though, doesn't it? Well, they just can't help putting on weight 4 times faster. You can. Inside the sub-zero lair of the world's most powerful computer. That's sort of interesting to me. If I had endless time, I'd probably go into that article and read all about it. that sort of thing is... hopefully today, if I can, I'll get to some science stuff. In fact, let's do that. On the first show, I told you I'd have, like... if there was ever time, I'd get to sort of science and space news. And I haven't done it yet because... we just talked about normal news, but maybe today we'll get to a bit of it. In fact, let's just move on then. ITV News website, what have we got? Oh, they go with the ICE Minneapolis shooting. Millions in Britain at risk of nasal spray, quote, addiction, ITV News survey suggests. I had sinusitis once, an infection of the sinus. Actually, it was an upper sinus I had. And it was terrible. It was some of the worst pain I've ever had. It was really, really bad. It felt like there was like some sort of creature in my skull trying to burrow its way out of my skull. And for a while, I was like, have I got a brain tumour? Is this it? Am I going to die? It was just sinusitis. It was just an infection of the sinus. But it was excruciating pain, like worse than like migraine, like the terrible migraine. If anyone's had a migraine, like really bad migraine before, you know that it's no joke. It's really no joke. But yeah, to get addicted to nasal sprays... And I had to have all sorts of nasal sprays for this thing. So to get addicted to it, not good. US forces involved in the seizure of the Russian flagship. Okay, let's see. What's Channel 4 going with? Channel 4. Okay. They go with just all the same things. Trump bad on every single level. Everything about the Venezuela, everything Trump does or says absolutely... ever on every level is evil and bad. So there you go, that's sort of all you need to know. You don't really need to read what they say, you know what their angle is. Sky News going with the terrible weather. All right, oh look, police wrongly employed serial rapists. Oh look, it's serial, it's rapists plural. They employed serial rapists after vetting relaxed to meet recruitment targets. Right. So completely failed in your charge of serving the public trust, protecting the innocent and upholding the law. Completely failed in that, just so you can say, look, we've got black officers. Bizarre. Disgustingly bizarre. Okay, the Daily Mail. The ICE victim named. Oh, there you go. Did I say it was a black woman earlier? I don't know if I did. I hope I didn't. Anyway, it's poet Renee Nicole Good, 37, was named as the woman shot by ICE agents as video captures grieving wife at the scene. Oh, is that maybe... the woman shot dead by immigration customs? Okay, well... don't just try and drive away from armed police. I mean, I'm sorry. Don't do that. Should be 101. Should be the things they really teach you in school. There's things they don't teach you in school that they really should, right? They should teach you how to fill out a form correctly. Teach you how to open a bank account. Drill into you not to run from armed police. Can we do that? Can that be a thing? Can that be on the national curriculum? I fear Greenland is on the brink of civil war. Families are torn apart as locals express their anger at both Denmark and Trump. All right. I want to try and get to some of the science or this day in history type news. Let's go. Let's just skip the express and the sun. Oh, the sun. Let's have a quick look. Barmageddon. It's Barmageddon. Happy now. Outraged pub bosses threaten to go on strike and change opening hours in protest at budget tax grab by government. It's Barmageddon. The New York Slimes. When it comes to Russia, Trump navigates conflicting goals. Yeah, President Trump's efforts to court President Vladimir Putin of Russia are rife with contradictions about stability and displays of American power. I mean, yeah, it's a difficult tightrope to walk, isn't it? Both from the Russian point of view, dealing with the United States, and from the United States point of view, having to deal with Russia. It's a difficult tightrope, isn't it? You know, there's no two ways about that. There probably will be some contradictions. Haven't got time to talk about that in any real depth today. The Washington Post. Local officials dispute gnomes' claims. I guess that's Christie gnomes. Claims after a woman fatally shot by ICE officers in Minneapolis. Okay, they go leading with the Minneapolis shooting. What's this? Oh, we've gone across the Pacific over to Japan, the Kyoto News. They're saying Japan's government hunters confront rising bear encounters. So the Japanese are talking about like bear encounters in the wild, I suppose. There's too many bears wild in Japan. Interesting. That was news to me. I didn't really know that was a thing. What have we got here? The Xinhua News Network from China. What are they leading with? What are they actually saying? China claim, pardon me. China aims for secure, reliable supply of AI core tech by 2027. China solves 258,000 telecom online fraud cases in 2025. China's railway passengers trips exceed 4.5 billion in 2025. China admits to fostering peace, friendship, cooperation in South China Sea, says spokesman. Yeah, all right. Okay. China's central bank to conduct 1.1 trillion yuan outright reverse repo operation. All right. China surpasses US as Vietnam's largest shrimp market. Okay. Feature. Italian firm bullish on China's winter sports market. China's foreign exchange reserves rise in December 2025. So as you can see there, as I say most days, China, the Xinhua network, just kind of almost uniformly talks about how good China is and how well it's doing. Interesting scene, nonetheless. What's this? India. Yeah, okay, don't care. Don't care. Got to take that tab off there. Really don't care about it. All right. TASS, or TASS, Russian news agency, say US to file criminal charges against Marinera ship crew, says Attorney General. So America's even, according to the Russians, the US is even going to go further and try and prosecute the ship's crew or the captain. Saw some things that they're going to try and prosecute the captain. White House yet undecided on whether it will seek elections in Venezuela this year. Again, this is the Russian saying this. Minneapolis protester shot dead by US immigration officer. Okay. All right, quick look at Bild. The Germans. I must say the Germans is usually quite sloppy on the scale, on the spectrum of seriousness and slop. They're usually much more towards the slop end. Have they even got anything particularly new or interesting? How Berlin is turning the power back on. If anyone didn't see this story, in Berlin, the other day, a few days ago, some left-wing, and I believe it is a matter of record, some left-wing or even far left-wing organisation, terrorist organization, they like did some like quite extreme destruction of like power stations or sub power stations, something like this. I should look at the details properly, but from what I remember from 2 or 3 days ago, should have reported it then. They destroyed something or other in Berlin, and it gave power outages for a big chunk of Berlin. And I believe there was fire crews had to come out and put fires out and stuff. And it's only days later that they're sort of sorting it all out and getting power back to loads of Berlin. And yeah, it was like a left-wing group that did that, or far left even, I saw it reported. Interesting, isn't it, that the rest of the world, in Britain or in the US, not a peep, not a dicky bird about that. And even in the German news, it's sort of, it's not top of the agenda. I know it's a classic thing and almost a cliche, an annoying cliche to say, imagine if it was the other way around. Imagine if it was a right-wing group that did something like this, the outrage that would come from the corporate mainstream media, legacy media. But sometimes it is worth pointing that out, saying that, I think. And this case, I mean, imagine if it was an actual neo-Nazi group or something or other. Or just like a hardline patriotic group or anything that did that, blew up stuff, destroyed loads of stuff that gave power outages to a major capital city. The outrage that would cause, it would go down in history. They'd be talking about it years later, like Cable Street or something. They'd be talking about it 50 years later. Whereas this, just sweep it under the carpet, just, well, yeah, something happened, but don't worry about really who did it or why or anything like that. It's just, anyway, move on, next. There you go. That's the corporate mainstream media for you, even in Germany. Well, particularly in Germany. Right, Le Monde, the French, they say, and this is a quote from someone, they tried to erase our history, end quote. Sudan's national heritage is threatened by war. What, a Sudanese war? In Khartoum, the faces of a martyred capital. War cannot kill ideas, nor love. All right, so the French are interested in a conflict going on in the Sudan. That's what Le Monde thinks should be front and centre. French judges alarmed by rumours of potential US sanctions. that Trump might even sanction France. All right. Okay, let's have a look, a little bit of Twitter news. Let's skip that for today. I want to try and see if there's any science or space news. Oh, yes, this was the thing. Bit of space news to end the show on, because we're getting towards the top of the hour. This, NASA continues to work towards February launch of Artemis 2. So the Artemis missions, if anyone doesn't know, we're going back to the moon, or NASA is. Humankind are going back to the moon with manned missions, apparently. Might get a load of comments saying we've never been to the moon and that all this is fake. You can't go to the moon. You can't leave Earth low orbit, otherwise you'll sort of immediately die of cancer or something. Anyway, I'm one of those people that believe the Apollo missions did go to the moon. Maybe not Apollo 11. But I think certainly like Apollo 14 and 15 and stuff definitely went to the moon, as far as I can tell. And I've spent years looking about it, reading about it, and love space stuff and moon stuff and all that sort of thing. So yeah, the Artemis missions is NASA going to go back to the moon. I believe, and I might be wrong about this, I believe Artemis 2, and there's the crew. You can see a picture of the crew. This guy's the captain, I believe, or commander. I believe Artemis 2, they're going to go to the moon, slingshot around it and come back just to prove they can do it. Like Apollo 10, or was it Apollo 9? Either Apollo 9 or Apollo 10, they went to the moon, slingshot around, didn't land on the moon and came back just to prove they could do that. And then Apollo 11 actually goes and lands. I think Apollo 10, if I'm right, or Apollo 9, they came really close to landing, like within just 100 miles of the surface or something like that, or less even. So I think Artemis 2 is they're going to do that. And then Artemis 3 is they're actually going to land on the moon. So human boots back on the lunar surface. That would be cool. Really cool. Hopefully they'll be able to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that they've done it for real and that it's real. Hopefully. And, you know, put the moon landing conspiracy people that say it never happened, quiet them down. But yeah, so it's apparently set for February. Artemis 2, set for February. Yeah, in fact, it says there, NASA says it is continuing to prepare for a possible Artemis 2 launch as soon as February, but with remarkably little publicity for the historic mission. Yeah, most people, because I follow space stuff, I know about the Artemis program, but most people, I think I did a podcast of the Lotus Eater segment on it like last year at some point. Most people don't seem to have ever heard of it still. In fact, I'm sure a lot of people watching this now will, it'll be sort of the first they've ever heard of it, maybe. So we'll see. It'll be one of those things when probably still the majority of normies will have never heard of it, when Artemis 3 lands boots on the moon. And you just wake up one morning and it's like, oh, there's people on the moon again. Like, oh, I didn't know that was happening, or we were doing that, or billions of dollars have been and years have been spent making that a reality. But it is, it's happening. Artemis, the Artemis missions. Check it out if you're interested. All right, with only 5 minutes left to go, let's have a super quick look at on this day in history. All right, so in 1655, the oldest surviving commercial newspaper, which still runs today, begins its publication, and that was in Haarlem in the Netherlands. In 1790, the first US president, George Washington, delivers the first State of the Union address. That was on the 8th of January, 1790. There you go. In 1835, the 8th of January, 1835, US national debt reaches zero for the first and only time in history. Interesting, isn't it? I think so. In 1926, Abdul Al-Aziz ibn Saud, the first king of Saudi Arabia, becomes king of Najd and Hijaz, which is in like the Hijaz is in the western half of Saudi Arabia. He becomes king. Yeah, he had a civil war with the other major warlord in Arabia at the time, the one that Lawrence of Arabia backed, the father of... Well, anyway, the House of Al Saud starts, basically, in 1926, on this day. All right, so let's read a few of the Super Chats and end the hour on there. What have we got here then? So Rumble Rants, first of all, Figtarius says, there was a copper in front of the vehicle which hit him. Oh, okay. Okay. So she did hit a copper, according to this Super Chat, this Rumble Rant. So if that's the case, I mean, you know, it does. I did only see the clip once and briefly. So if she hit a copper, I mean... All right, if that's what that is. TomRat247 says, adjustable negative income tax fixes all this. Transferable tax allowances from your kids and spouse as a solution to this, which stops abuses. Okay, interesting. All right, some of the YouTube super chats. What have we got here? 44 Magnum Norse says, we love breakfast with Bo. We also love communists being removed from office. Boom. I like that. Breakfast with Bo. Bo Show. The Glorious Few. Bo's Breakfast Club. What's his... I can't even read this person's name, I'm afraid. Sulivus Vectarius 526 says, unironically, this is a best show Lotus Eaters made. Fast on Point doesn't take all your time. Thank you, Bo. No, thank you. Thank you for watching. It's you guys that make the Bo Show. You make it happen. If it weren't for you. Okay, Psycho Hobo says, if it makes you all feel any better, you all are being replaced by slaves of the eventual NWO. Oh. All right. Thanks for the $5, though, I suppose. Zeitgeist 3208 says, maybe the Sydney Morning Herald, or even the more based Sky News Australia, but definitely not The Age. Melbourne is Australia's socialist cesspit. Okay, yes, so going forward then, perhaps even from tomorrow, I'll put in some Australian news. And yeah, I know that Sky News Australia is based. I do watch a bit of Sky News Australia. I know that they quite often have based takes. So we'll try and do that going forward. Yes. Psycho Hobo says, globalists, and then just put Sabbatean Frankists, Jesuits, Masons. Cool story. Okay, Mason Royce says, will be interesting to see if Minnesota will be willing to riot over a white liberal woman. Glad to hear some Aussies getting a shout in the future. Yeah, or transient. Finally, Psycho Hobo, what's he going to say here? I'm not even going to read that out. Okay, thanks Psycho Hobo for the $2 there. All right, so we're basically at the top of the hour. I shall see you tomorrow morning. Remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Try and make it count. You know, carpe diem. Seize the day if you can. I know it's not possible every single day, but do try and make it count. Let those around you that you love, let them know that you love them, if you haven't said it recently. Can make a big difference. But all right, well, then, until tomorrow, it's just gone 9, so we'll leave it there. Take care.